dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind, it's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello everyone, this is Mark D. Valenti for Brain Burrow. This is one of our Digging Deep sessions where we have a chance to talk with our guest, and he has an opportunity to talk about himself and whatever he wants to talk about. The idea, of course, is we're going to dig deep, and you, the viewers and listeners, have an opportunity to assess that and decide are there things that are relevant for your life in all of this. So with that, I want to introduce our guest tonight by asking the big question, as always, who is David E. McMahon?
Hi, Mark. I'm going to watch what I say, and I'm going to use very short answers so you can't psychoanalyze me.
We're off to a good start already, then.
Now, let's see. David E. McMahon. David E. McMahon. You know, and I only put the E in there because when I first signed on to IMDb, there was already like six or seven David McMahons from like the 1930s. I'm like, I need a different anyways. So the E is for Edward, not Edward McMahon, the famous one, but okay. So David E. McMahon, let's see. I'm down here in Florida, not from Florida. I'm from Connecticut. Been down here about 10 years now. I moved down here for a job, not my acting job, because that does not pay the rent or the bills, unfortunately. But I do work in a job that allows me to go off and do some occasional acting gigs. Been acting for, well, film acting for about 10 years. I have a theater background more so. I did a lot of, you know, high school musicals and, you know, chorus roles because I can't sing worth crap. got to college, did some more like dramas and comedies. That was fun. That was like real acting. I enjoyed that. But then, you know, you graduate college and it's like, you kind of have this mentality that you've got this degree and now it's time to do all the things that you're expected to do, you know, get a career, settle down, get a house, blah, blah, blah. So I did that. I didn't act for a long time. So it was a good 20 years or so before I ended up totally by chance. I was living in Albany at the time, Albany, New York, and they were filming what turned out to be a horrible, horrible zombie movie. But I just signed up to be an extra. I thought it'd be fun. It was right near where I was living. And I got, you know, updated or whatever, upgraded to featured extra. And then before I knew it, I had a line. And as soon as I had a line, the acting bug was back. And I realized how much I had missed it. I was like, this is kind of fun. And I had never done anything that was film-based. And it just so happens at that same point in my life, we were about to move to Florida and got down here and there's a ton of film schools in Orlando. So, you know, there I was already 40 and already feeling like I was way behind the gun here. So I just started doing everything I could with the film schools just to get experience. Like I didn't care if it was a comedy or if it was drama, if it was whatever. Wow. So super grateful to them because they're, you know, they try so hard, you know, they're students, they want to get a good grade. So, and they treat you like a star. I mean, I was nobody, still am, but I was like literally not experienced at all. And they're like, here's your green room, Mr. McMahon. I'm like, okay. So that was good for the ego early on. But yeah, so I just kept at it. And, you know, I did as much as I could when time would allow with the work schedule and, did a lot of shorts, love shorts. Then, you know, I ended up doing like my first horror feature, which was The Song of Solomon, which, you know, has a following. It's one of those American guinea pig horror movies. It wasn't something I ever intended to do, but, you know, somehow things kind of just fell into place and it was being shot here in Florida. But far enough away, so it was my first time like going to a film set and actually staying there for like a week and a half. So that really felt authentic to me. And it was like just, we called it exorcist camp. It was crazy. It was just a bunch of like 8 to 9, 10 people. Just, it was fun. But yeah, but that one movie kind of started this little spiral of doing a lot of horror. And I never really thought I would fall into horror. I kind of thought I was strictly the comedy or the drama guy. But you know, horror, people do it. They say it's easier to sell, so it's a popular choice for indie filmmakers. I love it, don't get me wrong. But yeah, I have just been piddling along, doing what I can. 2020, of course, was, you know, that was a pretty quiet year. Not a lot going on there, but it's things are starting to pick up now, which is nice. But yeah, it's always finding that balance. I think that's like the toughest thing to do is, I feel like, and you know, I'm gonna get deep. It's not like I'm not being a victim, but I'm saying I feel like it's very hard when you cannot just say you're a full-time actor. I feel like until you have that complete flexibility, it's like having an agent is really hard because sometimes they want you to be somewhere like the next day. And it's like, I need to give at least, you know, 24 hours notice at my job, you know? Sure. So that's very frustrating. So I've been rambling. Oh, there's rambling.
No.
But okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm basically a guy who I love to become different people. I'm a huge fan of. I'm a character actor. That's what I've always wanted to be. The weirder the role, the more I'm drawn to it. I love like makeup and prosthetics. I love changing my look. Anything I can do for a role that makes it less me. Mm-hmm. Is like the best. I love to be outside my comfort zone because I feel like I actually try harder if I'm outside my comfort zone. And I'm fortunate enough that I've played some really wacky roles that, you know, unfortunately we can't show the young children, but but I mean, it's given me a cool chance to, you know, to play in that sandbox. Sure. I mean, I've had everything from, you know, Hitler growing out of my stomach to you know, demonic priest, of course, that's a dime a dozen. But yeah, there's all kinds of nifty opportunities you get. I no regrets. It's fun. Getting older now, though, thoughts are changing a little bit more. So kind of getting to that point where it's my midlife crisis, I guess. And I just, I don't know if I can keep going at it with the speed and momentum that I have, because I can tell that I'm actually becoming, look, I'm, God, you don't even have to talk at all. I'm doing all the talking for you. I can tell that I'm becoming like a different person. And there are times when I don't know if I like that person. Because I think I've gotten, I want to say cynical, I'm not jaded. But I think I've gotten my BS, no swearing, my BS detector is much more acute now. And I feel like my threshold to accept it is a lot shallower. So I tend to find myself now being more vocal about things that aggravate me. And my God, you know, 10 years ago when I started doing this, it was yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Didn't say two words, but it's like after you invest a lot of your time to, you know, to grow your craft, to grow your skills and your money. I mean, a lot of these indie films, you know, you're putting your own money into whether it's your travel or, you know, whatever.
That's right.
You just get to a point where you're like, am I really getting appreciated the way that I feel like I should be getting appreciated? And sadly, it's just, it happens more than not. And it's, as I get older, I feel like it bothers me more. It bothers me more that I get frustrated by it.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way, for sharing. I know that.
Sure. I just took up your whole half hour.
No, this is not. Listen, you're the guest. It's about me listening, sort of kind of
get, we're kind of second assessing, half hour, right? Folks, can you
That's right. Part two is going to come up, right?
Part two.
Yes. So I think you actually brought up a lot of interesting, a lot actually, to kind of delve into a little bit. But
sure.
So I want to. So why does it bother you? Do you think? About why is it triggering you now that you're feeling unappreciated? You mentioned, why is that such a bother to you?
I feel like it's okay. So when you're in your, I don't know how old you are, Mark, I'm not going to ask you, but like when you're in your 40s, I think that's a hard range anyways to find roles, because it's either, you know, you're no longer the young 20s, early 30s, like horror slasher film, run through the park with your shirt up kind of actor. And you're not like the 7-year-old adorable little grandpa. You're, you're pretty much going to be a dad, or maybe a cop, or maybe a priest. But on the rare occasion that there are roles that come up, I mean, I check backstage. I'm on Actors Access all the time, and I look for roles. I mean, there are roles I want to play, and I scour for these roles. And it's like, okay, I find one, I pounce on it. I'm the perfect match, at least from the description of the role. I audition. I mean, yes, the audition might have sucked or something. Either way, I don't get the part. But it's like, what happens is then I see who did get the part, and I think that's where I get mad, because it's completely different from what they posted they were looking for. Like, all of a sudden, it's a 28-year-old, and like they said they wanted a 40 to 50, and I'm like, see, I that, and I sound like Clint Eastwood now, like, get off my lawn, and I hate sounding like that, but I feel like so much more matters than talent now. And you know, I'm not saying by any means that I am super talented. I think I'm pretty good, but I can never compete, at least how I feel, with right now the younger crowd, the fitter. I mean, I'm not the picture of fitness. God knows that I've got my gut right here, but you know, that's frustrating. It's frustrating because I feel like they're almost looking at, you know, Instagram followers more so now than talent, and it just drives me crazy, because that's just something my generation. Yes, I'm on Instagram. Do I use it every 5 minutes? I don't. But I feel like, unfortunately, that's going to be my biggest detriment, is that I'm not adapting to this new technology to take advantage of my fame. But yeah, it's a younger person's game now. That's exactly how I feel. But I had a good run. Like, I did my best. I tried to do as many things as I could. But then you start to realize that oh my God, you think of all the weekends you spent away from home, or you think of all the money you put into, like I said, plane tickets. And there's so much more you could have been doing. And like now, you know, my parents are older. My mom is really sick, so she's not doing well. I'm super torn about like taking any projects on right now, because I mean, I could have to go home at any second, so it's hard. And I mean, I think that, you know, I think that particular circumstance in my life now is probably dictating a lot of my feelings. But it's just, yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge because I feel like some of the best indie actors that we have out there, we're not seeing enough, because they're just not bringing that, either the social media draw, or you know, they're not. Oh God, I can't even get started on all this stuff. But
It's okay.
you
It's
know,
okay.
we have these people that we, and I mean, I've met great people. I love most of the people I've met. I really do. But you know, these indie projects, they need names. They need names to get their movie out there. And you know, some of these folks that we give titles like horror icon to, I'm just like, really? Like, really? You were in a mediocre sequel of one movie for like 6 seconds, and you're a horror act. But you know what? Maybe that's just jealousy, and it probably is. So shame on me. I'm a shallow, horrible person. But you know, it's and now I completely sidetrack. But like, you lose out roles to those people too, because, and I get it. You need those people in your movie because they are names that people do know. So I totally get it. I get the financial reason for it. But it's still unfortunate because there are probably better actors to use. But it just makes me sound like a whiny child. So I figured I'd wait till I was on a platform like this so I could just whine to the whole world at once.
Well, first of all, thank you, David, for sharing. And I like how you always interject humor in there too, because we're talking about some serious things here, right? We're talking about unrealized goals. We're talking about that balance, and you're working really
Yeah.
hard to do things, and all of a sudden somebody
Don't
else
make
is
me
over
cry,
here.
Mark.
Not yet. Don't you worry about that. So
Okay.
we, yeah, but it's a, but yeah, we're seeing that, and you're seeing a lot of effort you put into things. You were already talking about, even before all this happened, even you were talking about the balance, right, of being kind of one foot in acting and one foot in your other life that pays the bills. And it's, so there's a lot that's going on that's triggering you right now, and it makes sense. And I appreciate you sharing all this right now.
it's like I just want to feel like I'm getting out as much as I'm giving to acting. And that's early on, I felt like I was, because I think I just mm-hmm. didn't know better. But now mm-hmm. I feel like I'm starting to realize it's kind of give, oh, take, you know, or, sure. you know, for example, I mean, I'm not, no project name, no people name, but like, for example, there's a project a few years back I worked on, and it was, you know, it was a no pay project. I do plenty of no pay mm-hmm. projects. I mean, it's just what you have to do to network and get to work with people. Yep. But so I had put my money in for the travel, for the hotel, for the car rental. So all in all, I put a good chunk of money in, and I couldn't even get a free copy of the movie when it came out. I'm like, wow, am I seriously not worth $15? Like that, it's that's a slap. I'm sorry. That is a slap in the face. Sure. So yeah, I mean, not even a digital link. You don't even have to send me the movie, right. Send me a download. Right. But right. Anyways, it's stuff like that. It's, you know, I've learned now you have to ask questions more. You might be told something up front that is not necessarily going to be the same way when the 11th hour of filming comes. And sure. sometimes it can really just mess things up. And then you look like the horrible person because you've pulled out of a project or something at the last minute, but
sure.
you don't often get your chance to explain what happened and why you did it.
That's right. Especially if you're not on social media as much and everybody else is. And it's just,
And I mean, the bottom line is anything I sign on to, I take my commitments extremely seriously. And it is very hard to decide to leave anything. And if I do leave something, I will always give them as much notice as I can. I will help them find a replacement. But, you know, sometimes you're kind of just forced to leave, and it's a bad reflection on you. And it's tough. It's tough to shake that, because all of a sudden then you have that label that, oh, either he's difficult to work with, or, you know, but whatever. See, that's where the being almost 50 now, I'm like, whatever, if that's what you think of me, I don't really care.
Well, right. Well, I think you bring up a really good point, right? And I don't want to discount the amount of stress this causes you, right? And it's not just this has happened last week. This has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with this feelings, right? Because there's a lot of emotions involved with this. How does David E. McMahon deal with this stress that's kind of going on here all the time?
It's getting harder. I think my biggest issue, and I have always been aware of it, and I've always tried to work on it. I am incredibly thin-skinned, and I wish I wasn't. I wish I wasn't, but I am. Like, no matter how many years and no matter how many auditions, if I don't get a part, I'm hurt. Like I take it very personally, and I know that you shouldn't. I mean, there's a zillion other people who didn't get the part. So, but for some reason, I just internalize it to the point where I beat myself up so much because of it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, God bless my wife, because I'm in a bad mood a lot. And it's funny, because I don't think people realize that I do. I mean, I like to be a nice guy. I like to be the fun guy on set. Like, I like to be jovial, and but still do my work. But, you know, I can get into some really dark places, like when I'm home, because when I'm left to my thoughts, I just get, oh, not like suicidal or anything like that, but like I just get very depressed about, you know, why didn't I get that? What did I do wrong? What didn't I have that so and so had? Or then I just start assuming it's because you're fat, you have the double chin, you've got this, and it's. But you know what? I think a lot of people do this. I mean, I'm sure it's. I mean, acting is like 80% rejection, so. Maybe it wasn't a good match for me. It's just unfortunate that I like it so much. But
and I appreciate again you sharing that. And you're right. No matter how together you have it, no matter how confident you are, getting a rejection from an audition, it impacts you. Because as human beings, we're social. We want to get sort of an approval. And depressive symptoms occur whenever we have unrealized situations. And that's exactly what not getting an audition is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it makes sense why you feel that way.
I had one interesting thing happen to me recently, and it's no slant against the movie or the director, because I actually admire him for doing this, but I auditioned for something, a role I really wanted, and I there was good communication before the Zoom audition. Everything is still Zoom right now. We had the audition. I thought it went really well. I thought he gave me some feedback that was great because he called me out on something that I know I do that no other director has ever called me out on. And when he called me out on it, I was like, son of a gun, this guy's got my number. He's like, when you talk a lot, you move your head a lot. And all of a sudden I realized, holy cow, I do. But anyway, so I left that audition thinking that it was really looking good, really looking good. And like an hour after the audition, I had another message saying, hey, can we get you on a Zoom call again tomorrow and talk some more? And I'm like, okay, this is really promising. So the next day I get on the Zoom call, and the first 10 minutes of the call are this great, we loved your audition, you were so this, and this was great, and this was great. And then literally out of nowhere, but we're not using you. And now I've never gotten a Zoom call rejection. Like, and I think I
Jeez.
was ready to start crying. Like
Wow,
I
that's
was literally,
incredible.
this happened yesterday. I almost canceled tonight's because I
Oh.
was a mess until like
Oh.
this morning. But I
Oh my
was like,
gosh.
but you know what? When I thought about it, I was like, the guy thought enough of me to call and tell me face to face rather than just A, not tell me anything or not get back to me or just send
Yeah.
some cold email or text. So, now I'm like, kudos to him. He shook me up, but I applaud him for being so direct. So
Yeah.
good for him.
So that,
But
yeah, that's a, and that's a great journey that you just took us on, right? Because you're talking about, again, this roller coaster of, okay, this is looking good,
yep.
then bam, out of nowhere, right? And your
Yeah.
heart probably sunk at that moment. You're like,
Yeah. Yeah.
so, but you also talked about being able to step away from it. The emotions were strong then, and you were thinking about canceling this, you were doing this, but then over time, you were able to sort of more logically think about that. So what was that like? How did you get to that point?
You get to a point where you're just, I think you get so invested in your own thoughts that you start to you find the clarity somewhere. 'Cause
That's right.
I'm reactive. So of course, when this all happened and I got off the Zoom call, I was very like just upset. I didn't want to be near anybody, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of just had a quiet
Sure.
night last night. I kind of just watched, TV and just was in my place. And, as cliche as it is, I will say that a good night's sleep does wonders. Because I woke up this
It's true.
morning and I was still bummed, but I wasn't mad anymore. I was like, yeah, it sucks. Oh well, go on. And I actually talked to the guy again today. And it was just, yeah, because I think he saw that I was upset. And I was like, well, so again, I was impressed that he reached out. So, it is what it is. It is what it is. But that's what, yeah, I mean, every there's a, it's a, like you say, it's a constant roller coaster. And for someone like myself who gets too upset about rejection, it can get really difficult. And I can see why some, Hollywood actors like just go crazy or whatever, because it's you wouldn't think it happens on that level. Like you would think if you're out there in La La Land that and you've made it that this doesn't happen to you. But I'm sure on some level it's super frustrating for them too.
Yeah.
But
Right.
yeah.
It's human behavior to want to be accepted and want to, it makes sense totally.
For
Well,
sure.
and you talk about being thin-skinned, as you say. Has there ever been a time
It's the only
whenever
thing
you feel
thin.
like you the humor
Let
works
me
out very
have the
well for you,
one
so
thin thing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to
Well, no,
interrupt you.
it's all right. Don't be sorry. I was just curious. No, it's actually more, it's a question for you, right? So has there ever been a time whenever you have felt that you were able to, kind of be more resilient in your life? I'm just wondering if, because I'm sure throughout your entire life, there's been a chance whenever you, or there's been a situation when you have been more resilient.
Wow. No, I think if I had one chronic issue, it's that I probably don't have enough self-esteem in myself. I think in a situation where stress levels are high, I think I'm good at keeping calm, and I think I'm a good presence to keep others calm, but I don't know if that's adrenaline or something, but usually I am very cautious to like speak up. I'm very cautious to share my opinions. And I mean, I work in the creative field. I'm a creative director for a company, and like I have a hard time like critiquing my writers and my designers' work. I feel bad. Like I just feel like my opinion is not, you know, doesn't carry the weight that it should. So it's, I don't know where that comes from. I feel like it's just maybe Irish Catholic things. I don't know. You know, there's this sense that you're never quite doing enough. And I think when you're in a field like acting, it can really just magnify that, because, you know, you do something and it's one or the other. A, you get it. B, you get rejected. So there's no like middle ground. It's just very black, white, black, white, black, white. So, you know.
That's right. No, and again, thank you for self-reflecting on that. And you're right. Everything we do is a result of our past, our childhood, going back there, or even what happened last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yet, in spite of all that, in spite of your admitted, as you're saying, lower self-esteem, you still go out there and keep doing it. You still were on the show tonight. You still could have said, hey, Mark, I'm not going to be able to be on here, but you still decided to move forward. Why do you do that? How are you able to do that?
You know what? Because, and I don't know, something happens. Like, when I am on a set or when that camera rolls, number one, I'm a nervous person. So I will be a nervous wreck. If I'm not nervous, then I get nervous. So, so before a camera rolls, I am a wreck. Like I'm very, very nervous. But like the second like action is said, there is something, God willing, thank God I have this. Like I can so instantly transport out of everything that's bothering me and just become someone else. And I don't mean to say that like I'm bragging. I mean to say that I can totally forget issues that might distract from my or detract from my performance. And people have commented to me too, because like I might be in a horrible mood even on set, like, you know, if I'm not my usual self, but I can switch it. Like we're doing a comedy, all of a sudden, boom, I can start being funny again. So I think that's think that's one of my strengths, is that I can quickly get to that place where I need to. But it's that I love that. I love that feeling. And I think that's what keeps me doing it. And, you know, I always said from, you know, when I first started doing this film stuff 10 years ago, I was like, I'm going to do it until it stops being fun. And it's still fun, but it's definitely not as fun as it was. So that kind of makes me think that maybe it's running its course. So, you know, maybe I go out at 50 or something and come back at 75 when I'm a cute little old man with long
hair. So. And it's easier to get apart then, right? Right.
As you said. So, I mean, I'll be the pervy grandpa.
It's a goal for everybody, I suppose, at some point. I think, but I think you just brought up a really good point, though, right? It's you're able to, whenever you need to, whenever you really want to, you're able to kind of put it into this different framework in your brain, right? And you called it out, right? They're called cognitive distortions. They're the lies that we tell ourselves. It doesn't necessarily reflect reality. You're caught in your own brain. And you're able to, in situations, use your brain and say, okay, I'm in this mode right now. I'm going to be acting and I can turn it on. And people even comment on it, which shows that you're, and even today, right? You're personable. You're not acting necessarily, but you're still there connecting. You're talking about yourself, some pretty vulnerable things, and you're able to do it. So the question I have for you then is, what would it take to use that same David in that mode that he's kind of acting, what would it take for you to use that mode in other situations whenever you're feeling stressed?
I think I probably do in a way, at least in my career, I probably do. Like I said, I always second guess if I have a thought to share. That's just something common. But I feel like when it's a time to shine at work or a time to step up, I can do that. It's harder with like family stuff, because I think like, at least with my parents, my parents are super old school. Like I, you know, they don't even have computers. They're very out of touch. So like when I tell them I'm doing these acting things, they're just like, what are you doing? So it's hard for me to like, I feel like I can never really assert myself with them and be like, look what I've done and look what I'm doing, because it's just so outside of their wheelhouse. Like, you know, if I said I had a job at Staples selling copy paper, that would mean more to them than, you know, you're in a movie?
Right,
But
right.
no, it's but that feeling that you have to step up and get the job done. I think I do have that. I mean, that's it's not just on set. I mean, it does happen, thankfully, at times in my life when I do need it. I mean, does it happen every time? No. But yeah, it's there. It's just sometimes it's dormant.
Well, it sounds like David, like you, there's actually a lot of times when you step up and the confidence is there. Sounds
I
like you're
try.
able to do it. Well, it sounds
But
like
you
you
know
do
what? When
it.
I'm
That's good.
confident, when I speak up, I feel like I'm being a BITCH. So it's like, you know, that's hard, especially in the
Yeah.
film industry, because it's like, it's such a little, I'm going over your half hour. It's such a little, like, pool, that one little ripple. Like, you say one thing and it just goes out, and all of a
That's
sudden
right.
you've offended someone like 18 people removed from the whole situation. It's nuts. It's
Yeah.
nuts. Like, I've learned you just have to keep your mouth shut, and it's getting harder to do that. So I do it less now. But
Right.
oh my God, I just worked on a project that I didn't even realize there was like this internal angst between fan films of a certain fan film following, and like there's somebody that I really want to work with, and now I've just found out that because I worked with this group, that I'm probably now enemy number two for this other group. I'm like, oh my God, why is it like this? Oh my
Right.
God, is this
Well,
like Beverly Hills 90210?
it's like that because human beings are emotional and we're reactive and
Oh,
jealous and everything
who's
else like
emotional?
that.
I'm not emotional.
Yes, I know it's just part of human behavior, so absolutely. Yeah, but you are right. We are at half an hour and and there's a lot to talk about. And doesn't mean you can't, if you're interested, come back for a part two to hear kind of like
You
how
know
things are
what?
going with
I
that.
think I would like, this is kind of nice. I'm enjoying this. So
Good.
if the
Well, no,
viewers really want me to start spilling the tea, they'll ask for a part two.
I it'll be like raw and uncensored, and
Oh yeah,
we
I'll
can
start
market it like
dropping
that. So
names. I'll
that's
start.
right. So tune in right for that. So no, David, I actually really appreciate how honest and forthcoming you were about things today. And
No.
I guess maybe the last question I have for you is, what do you want people to walk away with after this? What do you want people to think about David E. McMahon after listening to this?
I don't want people to think that I'm a whiner, that I'm getting cranky, and I mean, yeah, there are a lot of things I don't like about myself. Like I said, I take things too hard. I am a jealous person, and it's like I'm aware of it. I want to fix it. I really do. But you know, I just wish people would realize, well, I think all people should realize what their worth is. I think you need to know your worth, your value. And you know, it took me a long time to get to the point where I now know I'm not going to settle. I mean, it's indie film. We're not making Hollywood blockbusters. I should not feel belittled or like not appreciated. It's indie film. We're all just trying to make a cool movie. So I just want people to keep that perspective. Like, cut the BS out. Just get good people on your crew, get good people in your cast, and make a movie. And don't get hung up on the names and the social media followings. I mean, just make a movie. And if it's a good movie, it's going to get attention. It's going regardless of who
Sure.
is in it, or you know, come on, just give us almost 50-year-olds a chance.
And that's a good message to leave with, I believe. So very powerful. No, actually, what I'm hearing you saying is, one, believe it or not, I heard a little bit of self-worth there, David, about yourself, and just sort of saying that you're worth it in all of this. And yeah, so I think that's a fantastic way to actually end this part one of the conversation. So I want to thank you for being on today and being very candid about your feelings.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed myself. This was good. Once I get going, it's hard to
No, it's okay. It's
shut
that's a the session I keep calling them sessions. This discussion is actually all about
Oh, no, I
you as
like
the guest.
sessions
So,
better. I feel like I should
all
leave
right,
a studio now.
sessions session works. No, it's these are what the sessions are all about. It's all about digging deep with the guest. So thank you for being vulnerable and talking
Well,
about
thank
feelings
you.
today.
I
So,
appreciate your time.
yeah, my pleasure. Okay, so for David E. McMahon, this is Mark D. Valenti for Brain Burrow. Thank you for tuning in and have an amazing day.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? follow Mark on Instagram @ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.